Alright, go ahead and turn into your Bible to Philippians chapter 3 as we continue on. And what we've been looking at this chapter, last week we talked a lot in just dealing with what it is about winning Christ and really what we have to lose out on if our life is not focused on being able to grow in that walk in relationship with the Lord, to be able to do the things that He requires of us in the Word of God. You know, and again, it's not a matter of losing our salvation or anything like that. We know from the Word of God that we are eternally secure. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. But we have the opportunity to be able to reign with Christ. That's what reigning Christ, to be a part of the bride, to be married to Him, part of the body for all of eternity. But if we are doing things that are just living in the flesh, then we can't be cut off from that. We can lose that opportunity to reign. And we covered a number of references in dealing with that. So I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad we have it not only on audio, but also video, because we're going to review it and making sure that we understand that. I think it's a very important message for us to really have in our hearts and our lives as far as Christianity that we have today, because it's something that is just not really taught or understood like it needs to be. And the Word of God talks about it so much. Well, today, we're going to continue on in the next couple of verses, verses 10 and 11, and seeing about knowing Christ. Last week it was winning Christ. I can't talk today. Winning Christ today is knowing Christ. And it obviously it just follows along. If I'm going to be able to win Christ and be able to be able to rule and reign with Him, then I need to get to know Him. And I've said this so often. It's like salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end. When you come to Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's just the beginning. And we need to continue to grow in that relationship, and thus that is our vision this year, to have a vision to be able to grow, to look at different areas in our life and see how can I grow in that. Establish some goals for this year to be able to hopefully at the end of 2020, which we're probably all wanting to end of 2020 sooner than later, with everything we've been going through, but that we can be able to look back and see, you know what, I have grown, I have developed, I've seen some areas of growth in my walk and relationship with the Lord that I hadn't had at the beginning of the year. And that's what we want to be able to do. And so as we talk about knowing Christ today, again, let me just read the references of these verses that we're going to cover. Have a word of prayer and we'll get started with it. In verse 10, again, Philippians 3, verse 10, it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, there's a number of things that we need to see here. Actually, five different points. Usually I have 2 points, maybe 3 points, but today it's five. And dealing with knowing Him, His power, His suffering, His death, His resurrection. And so let's have a word of prayer as we get started in looking at these points that we need to see, really, I think, desperately today. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You for this time. Lord, You know, I've been thinking, meditating, reviewing, and studying in these verses all this week, and even before I come in here today, Lord. And I just pray that You would work through me, get me out of the way, that, again, myself, my flesh, would just not hinder what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand what we need to see here. So much times in Your Bible I've been reading and coming through the Proverbs is that word understanding. Lord, help us to understand what we need to see, what we need to apply to our lives. Help us to know what it is to know You and have a desire to want to know You, to grow in You. And there's some things that are kind of tough to talk about here, you know, in a sense of, I don't think any of us like the idea of the word suffering, and especially in this year that we've been going through a lot with the nature of things that are happening in this country and in this world. But Lord, it's through those times that we can know You better, that we can grow, trust You more, lean upon You. So Lord, I pray that You speak to our hearts. We need it. I need it. Every day can be trying. Every week can be trying. Lord, we need to understand Your Word. And so, Father, I pray for these things, Lord, and help us just to, again, be focused on Your Word for these next few minutes, Lord, and to be able to see what You have for us. So I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into this. The first thing that Paul says here, after he's come through and talking about how he wants to win Christ, after he's talked about how he has counted all things lost for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. We talked about that last week. And so he continues on here, and the first thing that he says in verse 10 is, that I may know Him. Now remember, Paul already knows Christ, alright? his first introduction to him, really, when he got saved, is obviously in Acts chapter 9 when he was on a Damascus road, right? And he sees that he comes to Christ. The Lord, he says, hey, how am I going to kick against the pricks? And the Lord gives him a job to do. And so that's when Paul started knowing the Lord, but that wasn't enough. He wants to continue on. And this is at the time that Paul, remember, he's in prison when he's writing this the first time in prison, as far as writing Philippians and other books. And so he's been on missionary journeys. He's been doing things. And, of course, obviously been learning, growing the Word of God. I mean, Paul had an incredible privilege of being able to have the Lord himself teach him for 3 years. The Word of God lays that out, not only in the book of Acts, but also in Galatians chapter 1. So, I mean, he had an incredible relationship, a personal relationship, literally face-to-face for some time with the Lord Jesus Christ. An incredible, special privilege and opportunity. That's why he is an apostle. An apostle is someone who has seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had plenty of time with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't enough for Paul. And he comes here and he says, I want to know him, that I may know him. And it really isn't any different for us. No, we don't have a direct access to God in a sense face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's given us his word. He has given us prayer. And we should have that same attitude as Paul of wanting to know Christ more, to know him better, not to be satisfied in the kind of relationship that we currently have. We should want to know him more, that I may know him. You look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Last week we took you to Ephesians chapter 1 and talking about, again, the being able to know the Lord even more. But let's look at it in Ephesians chapter 4, because this is in a context of what every local church should be doing. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Really, all the way through 16 is what we can read here, but 12 and 13 would be sufficient for right now. I mean, in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about, again, really the purpose of what every church should be doing. We know this here. It says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, that verse 13 talks about how we should be able to grow, and that we all, not just one, not just two, not just a few, but all that are in the body of Christ, all that is in a local church, should have that desire to want to know Christ, to know him. I mean, as it says in verse 13, it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just knowledge. I said this last week. It's not just understanding facts and figures. It's not just understanding how to break down the Word of God. I mean, those are things that are important. We talk about, we emphasize the study of the Word of God. But what we're looking at here is knowledge of the Son of God, knowing Jesus Christ. How well do you know Christ? In my own personal devotion this morning is in Proverbs chapter 12. And one of the things I focused in on was dealing with having God to be a delight in my way. And there's so many things we talk about in the seeing the Word of God of where we need to do the things that delight God. And truly, God's going to delight in the things that I do if I am delighting in Him. And if I delight in Him, that means I'm going to spend time with Him. You guys are familiar with like Psalm 1 and verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law about to meditate day and night. That's a person who is blessed, as it says in Psalm 1. All right, they're not going in the way of the sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful, all that, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. All right, and if you're going to delight in God, then you're going to spend time with God. You're going to meditate. And the only way that God has given us to grow in that relationship is time in His Word. And not just, again, knowledge, facts and figures, but how can I know my Lord more? To understand what He delights in. Understand what pleases Him. That's another aspect of that we see in the Word of God. Do we know the things that please God? Do we know the things that He delights in? Now we're going to set about to do those things to grow our relationship. You think about any good relationship that we have on planet Earth. Alright? It's going to happen and grow if we continue to learn, to be able to spend time with that person. If you don't spend time with that person, then you're not going to know too much about them, and they're not going to know too much about you. That's what a relationship has to be. It has to be continuing to grow. As I mentioned in our prayer request, my wife and I are getting ready to take our 30th anniversary trip next month, Lord willing, and everything stays pretty copacetic here in the United States, that we'll be able to do that. But it's like 30 years of marriage, all right? It shouldn't be something that it's like, well, I just know everything about Trish, 30 years is good enough. I'm going to stop talking to her. Stop spending time with her. 30 years is good enough. All right? No. It should be that our marriage should continue to grow. Our love for each other should continue to grow. And the things that we go through and everything that we're going to see even in this message as far as our Lord is concerned, I talk about a human relationship, especially a marriage relationship, it should be something that's continuing to grow and not just be, well, we come to a certain point, that's fine. She is the way she is. I am the way that I am. Nothing's going to change. No. We should be seeking to grow and work on our relationship. That's what's going to make it successful. That's what's going to make it something that is profitable in God's eyes. Well, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the same. It starts the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but it should grow from that. And the only way that's really going to happen is that you spend time in the Word and applying the Word of God, trusting in Him. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, all right? Again, from verse 10, it says this, that I may know Him. Never satisfied with where you're at in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. And he goes on and it says, well, we really probably like this part, and it says, in the power of His resurrection. Paul wants to know not just the Lord, but also the power of His resurrection. The greatest problem that God ever had was a dead Jesus Christ. And what did God do? He raised them from the dead. That's part of our salvation. You think about Romans 10, verse 9, that if any man shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Alright? That's some power. Now there's things that we can look at in our life and in our world and things that are man-made that is awful powerful. I think one time I shared with you how when we were living in Canada, I used to do some local cable TV stuff, and we did a story on a fireworks display, and Andrew was young, and Trish was there, and I was there at ground zero of launching off fireworks display. It was a great experience. I'll never do it again. Alright? It was loud. The ash is raining down on you. It's like, why am I standing here? The firefighters are lighting this stuff off. They're running away, and I'm just kind of standing here broadcasting. Alright? The power of those fireworks, those kind of fireworks going off, I mean, it just shook your body. It was incredible to understand that power. Have you ever been, it was funny, yesterday I was kind of flipping through TV, seeing what was on. I was on the NASA station, and they were talking about the space shuttle program and how before that really landed at Kennedy Space Center where it launched from, they would land at Edwards Air Force Base, and they have a big 747 that they would put the space shuttle on top of to carry it back to Cape Canaveral and all that. Well, I had the opportunity once when it was on display at Kansas City International Airport. It was one that was their test orbiter, the Enterprise, on the back of the 747, and they let you down there. I mean, you were close to it. It's the most incredible thing to see. One, a 747 is a big airplane. All right, it's a big airplane. And then to see the space shuttle on top of it, it's like, that fucker's big. It's amazing how that thing gets off the ground. Well, we were there the last day. It was like there for the whole weekend. And we came up there with my good friends of mine. They were twins in high school together. And one of his sisters drove us up there. It was a long line to get up there. But we're able to be on the tarmac, and we were able to stay there when it also took off. I will never forget the power of those engines of a 747. I mean, that's one. We've flown on a 747 before, but to be outside and near the runway when that thing took off, your chest is just rumbling from the power of the engine. Right? I'm sure all of us have some story or something like that we relate to. Man, that is powerful. I remember the first time when I was in Boy Scouts using a chainsaw. I was like, yeah, I can get into this. There's some power behind this. I mean, incredible. But there is nothing like the power of resurrecting a dead person. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we've been to funerals. Funerals of loved ones, funerals of friends. They're not getting out of that casket. If they're cremated or whatever the case is, there's no human power that's going to be able to raise them from the dead. That power belongs to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul's talking about knowing Him, he also wants to know the power of His resurrection, because there's no power like that to be able to raise the dead back to life. Paul wants to understand and know that power more. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. I want you to look down in verse 4. Romans chapter 1, down in verse 4. Paul laying out about, again, the Lord Jesus Christ and talking about being of the seed of David, as far as the flesh side, as far as his human side. But notice what he says in verse 4. It says this, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus died once to sin. We'll look at a reference to that in a little bit. But raised, right? Raised again. And Paul wants to understand that kind of power. It's that kind of power of the resurrection that we need to live our Christian life by. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 down in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 down in verse 6. You see, this is important because especially as we get into what we're going to talk about here about fellowship of suffering, all right, we don't want to talk about that, but we need to. To know Him in the power of His resurrection, we've got to understand this because that same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that we can have active in our Christian life today. It does not matter what kind of trials and tribulations and persecutions and everything that's going to happen and has happened and who knows what's going to happen in 2020. It seems like we can't catch a break. Now I've got to watch out for squirrels, not just for the bird feeder. Squirrels in Colorado. Got Ebola. It's like every month there's something. Good night, all right? What are we going to have? What are we going to have in August?
No. I really want to say this, but I probably won't because I know Carol will shudder. But I'm going to say it anyway. Flying snakes? Oh, yeah, Brett doesn't like that either. Who knows? But the thing is, if we're living by the power of the resurrection, we got the power and the strength to be able to deal with whatever comes our way. Because the worst problem that God ever had was a dead Jesus, and what did He do? He brought Him back to life again, the power of the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," going back to Genesis chapter 1, "has shined in our hearts to give the light of the," interesting enough, "knowledge of the glory of God," where? In the face of Jesus Christ. We get back to knowing Him. And then verse 7, it says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's important to understand. Knowing Him and knowing the power of His resurrection, that we have that same power that's in the Lord Jesus Christ in us, in our earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. We can't live in this world and do what God wants us to do in this world in our own strength and power. It's got to be that same power that is the power of the resurrection. I'll give you one more reference before we go back to Philippians. This time I need you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know everybody here is familiar with it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to look down at verse 7, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul's last words before he went in prison a second time. And he's going to be beheaded by Nero. And he's given last-minute instructions in charge to his son in the faith, Timothy. And so he says this, because Timothy was going through a tough time as he's pastoring in the church of Ephesus, in that city that had a lot of spiritual warfare that was going on. None too different probably than dealing with what we are today and dealing with. Not saying they had COVID-19 back there, but there was a lot of unrest that's in Ephesus, this major city. And so it was hard on Timothy, all right? Matter of fact, he was even at the point of tears. But Paul is encouraging him, and he says this in chapter 1, verse 7, verse 8. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. We have a spirit of power, and a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind." It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Yes, we are going to go through some things. If you're living for the Lord, if you're seeking to know Him, you're going to go through some things. Satan doesn't want you to know Christ more. This world certainly doesn't want you to know Christ more. But your own flesh does not want you to know Christ more. That's our biggest enemy. Enemy number one is our flesh. All right? And so that's what we're going to have to battle against. But we need to know Him, and we have the power to be able to deal with it. All right? Be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God gives us the power to be able to do that. Now, if we go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection," and here we go, "and the fellowship of His sufferings." I can probably 99.99999%
probably say this, and it'll be true. I don't think any one of us got up this morning and said, God, please, please, allow me to suffer today. Did anybody pray that prayer today? Show hands? Yeah, they do it in church. Show hands. I know I didn't. I didn't get out of bed. God, I want to suffer. I crawled out of bed. Back still sore. Knees a little sore. I'm not praying, God, I want to hurt some more. I might praise that. But what is Paul saying here? And remember, he's in prison. Alright? And remember, prison back then is not like prison today. If people didn't bring your food, you didn't eat. Right? If you were cold, you know, tough luck. Unless somebody brings you a coat or something. We know that's true from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Alright? It's not a pleasant experience. And what does Paul say? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wants to know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. It's like, well, preacher, you had me from the first 2 points, but point 3, I don't think I like that. I don't necessarily like it either. But I tell you what, you really want to know something? You really want to know somebody? Suffer with them. Go through some things with them. Last week I gave you the example of talking about when Trish and I went to Romania, the team that we went on. We had a team of like 16 people. And that when we went to Romania, we divided up into 3 separate teams and we handled 6 different churches in the 2 weeks that were there. And to help us get there, they put us through some suffering. Because they knew going through trials and tribulations would bind us closer together as a team so that we'd be ready for whatever we would experience on the mission field. Okay? It was serious business back then. I told you last week, again, middle of the Persian Gulf War, not great for Americans to travel in a country that just their communism government collapsed and their new government wasn't stable. It wasn't an easy, nice going little mission trip, alright? They prepared us, and the way to prepare us is to put us through some trials and suffering to help us to get together as a team more. You see, I made reference to our marriage relationship. Ain't no way you're going to be married in this world and not go through some things. Alright? That should help us get closer together, to know one another more, to depend on one another, and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ in a relationship more. When you go through something, that fellowship of suffering. When you are able to, in a human relationship, when you are there with somebody, going through something with them, it's just, you know somebody then. Paul says, I want to know. That I may know. The fellowship of the sufferings. That's a desire that Paul had, and he's saying this, while he's in prison for Christ, for preaching truth. Lord, I want to know. See, we're all about knowing the power of the resurrection. That sounds great, yeah. Give me the power to be able to deal with anything, yeah. Oh, yes, amen. What about the next one? That I may know the fellowship of the sufferings. In case we forgot, go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Philippians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. It says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, we've already mentioned them, Satan, the world, even your own flesh, which is to them an evident token of perdition or destruction, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given, and in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It is given unto us. Can you imagine? Christmas time is rapidly coming. I know Pam's all happy about that. Probably got the exact days until it's Christmas, I bet. Do you right now?
No.
What? I'm disappointed. All right. I mean, I'm sure it'll be coming. It'll be on my bulletin. She'll have the days of Christmas.
Anyhow, at Christmas we like getting gifts and so forth and giving gifts and that sort of thing. Imagine Christmas morning, you open up a present and inside the box it says, suffering. That's your present. And it's given unto you. Not only believe on Christ, but also to suffer for not your sake, but His sake.
Fellowship of sufferings. I mentioned this reference last week, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what?
Suffer persecution. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
How many of you got some project at home? It's going to be a lot of work. You're slaving on it all day. You're tired. You're sore. But you look back and you got it accomplished. And you're proud of what you accomplished. I mean, it's like, man, yeah. It's a good soreness in a sense, or a good pain. Or you're working out or something like that, and you're really sore after it, and you're sweaty and so forth and all that. But it's a good sweat.
It's a good soreness because you know it was the right thing that you needed to do. But there's some suffering. There's some strain involved. But yet, it's like, you know what? I'm glad. That was a great workout. I got this project done.
Early this year when I cleaned up the garage, man, I was proud of that thing. Before I went, I looked at it a couple of times because I remember what it looked like before all the work. And then afterwards, it's like, man, this is looking pretty good.
And I immediately told my wife, do not touch the garage!
I know my wife. Or put it back. She's like, oh yeah? You wait, I'm going to preach on you and talk about everything that I have problems with. But it's like you're like that. So I had some dead limbs that were kind of by our garage just the other day that I got the big pole saw out and sawed them down and stuff like that. I'm still happy about that. It's like, man, it's good to get that all kind of cleaned up and dead wood out of there. And then I noticed today there's still a dead limb that's hanging there. I got to get out of there before it falls on somebody. But you're proud of those things. But it took some effort. It took some work. All right? Maybe it wasn't an easy job to finish or a task. I'm trying to relate these things to you because you know what? When we're talking about growing in your walk with the Lord, being able to know Him, and really to experience the power of His resurrection, there's going to be some fellowship of suffering. You're going to go through some things. I expect to talk about this, but might as well. And some of you mentioned this before, so I'm only going to do this. I mentioned this before, I'm only going to do it in brief. But when Trish and I went on a discipleship trip down to Hammond, Louisiana, right? We brought our son, who was just not quite 1 year old, right? Pretty close to it. And we failed to really realize we're in the middle of KKK country when we went to this church. Long story short, didn't go too well. We didn't finish our discipleship trip. We had to leave there early. Like I said, most of you, I think, have heard the story before. It wasn't fun. It was not a fun experience. At that time, it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my Christian walk. It was tough. Same time, it was also good on that trip because there's a particular guy who was considered an evangelist. He's no longer with us, Leo Humphrey. He'd come up to our church in Kansas City and preach. I mean, I just love to hear this guy preach and just the people that, how God used him to lead people to Christ is absolutely incredible. So we're able to spend time with Leo, and a couple is actually where we stayed in their house too, that was next door to Leo, and that we had a great time. I mean, it was Saturday night there, and we just had a great time. And I remember praying that night when we finished up our fellowship, probably at like, I don't know, 1 a.m. or something like that.
And I said, Lord, if this is the only night that I'm here, it's been worth it all. And little did I know, that was pretty much what the case was going to be. All right? There's three families in that church that didn't like me being black and being there, didn't want me to preach and teach. It was a tough time. And this was on the cusp of us going back and starting an urban ministry. We're going to be focusing on urban churches and talking about blacks and whites working together to be able to minister the truth. It was a demoralizing time. But something happened. That young pastor at that church ended up leading a black family to Christ, started discipling. The three families that caused all the problems, guess what? They left. And everything was going fine. And Leo told us that when he came up to do a conference for us. And it's like, what was tough ended up being something that is glorious.
what was a tough, hard situation, fellowship of suffering. All right, our whole team kind of dealt with that. All right, ended up something that ended up turning that was to the glory of God. All right, there's some times in our life where we're going to go through some things that's hard, but as we trust the Lord in those times, that fellowship of suffering, I'm telling you, it will lead to really not only growing in your relationship with Christ, but you never know what kind of impact it will have in eternity. Maybe, again, like God wanted to use us at that time in that church, in our marriage, to be able to have that growth in that pastor, to have that growth in that church. And yes, there was some suffering involved in that, but the outcome was incredible. A lot of times we go through bad times of suffering, it's like, why me? Woe is me, God. Why are you doing this to me? And it's like, just hold on and just trust God through the suffering. God has a purpose. We know it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that what?
Love God. And they're called according to His purpose. Not an exact quote, but close enough right now.
All things work together. Even the trying times work together for good. If we are loving God and understand that He has a purpose for it all. Paul, in the midst of prison, I want to know him, and the power of His resurrection, fellowship of the sufferings. How can we do that? Let's look at the next point. Still in verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Dying to self. I want you to go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Great chapter. It deals and talks about spiritual baptism. What happens the moment we get saved? We are spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. We have a lesson of discipleship on that. But I want you to look at this, because this is exactly, I think, a great cross-reference to what Paul's talking about here in Philippians 3:10. Romans chapter 6, let's pick it up in verse 3. I'm going to read down through maybe like verse 11, really. I mean, because all of this is really talking about the same thing, about understanding, being conformable unto His death, Christ's death. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says this: Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, power of the resurrection, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That word should is what? It's a choice. It's what we should do. As believers in Christ, we being conformable to His death. We, again, identify with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should walk in newness of life. You go on in verse 5. It says, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, and I like this word we keep on saying, knowing. I want to know Him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see those things? Those are choices. Should not. When you said that Jesus Christ is the person I want to save, you're identified with the death, His death on the cross. Crucified life. We use those references these last couple of weeks in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Galatians chapter 2, and verse 20. Being a crucified, living a crucified life. That the world is crucified unto us and we unto the world. In Galatians 6, verse 14. Alright? That we should do this, that we might not serve sin. Because we still have this flesh that we're walking around in that doesn't want to do anything good. And that's the battle that we have every day, every moment of the day. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when Paul's talking about that, I want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, realizing every day that we get up, dead men walking. Dead. I'm dead to the old Charles Boyce.
And any time I have problems, what's happening is I'm trying to resurrect the dead Charles Boyce, my old man, the flesh. I should reckon it dead. Every moment I get up, every time I get up in the morning, old Charles Boyce has got to be dead, dead, crucified with Christ. That I should be walking in newness of life today. That I might not serve sin. I shouldn't be serving sin. The rest of the Romans chapter 6 deals with that, who I'm supposed to be serving. That's what Paul is in prison for, preaching Christ. In prison unjustly. Yeah, what's his prayer? What's his focus? Man, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. The power of your resurrection. Lord, I want to know that fellowship of suffering. Lord, I want to be conformable unto your death. Now, Christ, of course, he is without sin. So I need to die to self. See, this point is so important because there is no way we're going to know him. There's no way that we're going to experience the power of the resurrection in our life. There's no way we're going to understand the growth and the depth that we can have out of the fellowship of the suffering if we don't understand this point of being conformable unto his death. Because as long as we allow our old nature to reign, we're not going to be able to know him. We're not going to experience the power of God in our life. We're not going to understand the growth and everything that we have out of the fellowship of the suffering. We have got to understand this point. Point number four, being made conformable unto his death. Because there's so many Christians that will not win Christ. There's so many Christians that won't know Christ that they need to know him. Because we allow our flesh to still live. We allow our flesh to still get in the way. And it can be as simple as this. God knocking on our door. You know what? I want to spend some time with you. Hey, I want to talk to you. Can you open up that Bible? God's not going to come down and do it for us. God's not going to come down in our living room, pick up our Bible, open it up in front of you, and say, okay, now read to it. I need you to read. We need to discuss some things. It's something that we should do. But what do we got to do? Die to self. We got to say, you know what? My relationship with the Lord is so important. I need to spend some time. But our flesh said, you know what? You're a little tired. You got some things to do. Why don't you go do those things, and then I'm sure you'll have some time to get into a word later. And then all of a sudden, a whole day goes by, and you have not cracked the book once. You have not done what it needed to do to be able to spend time getting to know your Lord. The power of his resurrection. Fellowship of the sufferings. We make you conformable to death, because instead of understanding that you're dead to self, alive to walk in Christ in newness of life, you allowed your flesh, enemy number one, stop you from doing the very thing you need to do. This is an important point to understand. Dying to self. Or we allow things of the world. Oh, I gotta go do this, that, and the other. Or somebody called me up and I gotta go do this. I'm not saying that you don't have relationships with people at all. Not at all. But how often do we let our flesh hinder and stop what this verse is talking about? There's no way we're going to know him more if we still are living in the flesh and allow our flesh to dictate. Because remember, we've seen it, your flesh never wants to do the right thing. Never. Romans 7:18. Paul says, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Right? That's why we've got to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Every day, every moment of the day. Let's finish up. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, verse 11 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now let's understand what's being talked about here. Paul is not saying that I hope I'm going to be resurrected. Paul understood that being in Christ, when he dies, then he will be resurrected. His body will be resurrected. He talks about it all over the place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter that deals with that doctrine of dealing with the resurrection from the dead. Paul is not talking here about, well, I hope I'm going to be resurrected. Now, what he's talking about goes back to what we talked about last week, wanting to win Christ. Not just resurrection, but having his resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see it in some more detail, but I want you to jump ahead to later in this chapter. I want you to look down at Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says this, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." See, Paul understood that he would be resurrected, but the resurrection that he wanted is to be the same resurrection that it may be fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. Every Christian is going to have a glorified body, right? Every Christian is going to be resurrected, but will it have and be the same kind of resurrection as the Lord Jesus Christ? Tied right back into winning Christ, and we'll see even more so as we, again, look next week as we continue on in the next three verses of this chapter. So when he talks about may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he knows he's going to be resurrected, but is his resurrection going to be the same kind of glory as the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I made reference just a second ago to this chapter in dealing with the resurrection, so I want you to look at something there. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15 down in verse 40 through 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 through 42, as he's talking about the resurrection. Note this, starting in verse 40. It says, "There are also celestial bodies, or heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, far as our earthly bodies. But the glory of a celestial is one, and the glory of a terrestrial is another." And a lot of you are probably thinking here, it's like, what kind of glory is in the human body? I especially think, back sore, knee sore, whatever, we get sick, we break down, it's like, but there is some glory in the terrestrial body. For me, in doing karate, I've learned some unique ways how the body works and how God has designed our body to work, some of the physiology of it and so forth. It's actually incredible in the things that God has done in this terrestrial body that we have. A lot of our systems, if something breaks down, another one takes over, or that sort of thing. All right, we can function with one kidney, but we have two, so forth and so on. I mean, it's amazing. There's some glory in this terrestrial body, but obviously celestial body is something that we want and look forward to. You continue on in verse 41, it says this, "There is one glory of the sun," which is a picture of Christ, "another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." So when we're talking about the resurrection, Paul talks about those different glories of different celestial bodies, in a sense, as far as our sun, the different stars, the moon, and so forth. Obviously, there's planets up there and that sort of thing, and some are brighter than others and all that. He says, so is the resurrection of the dead. And the thing is, like, are we going to have that resurrection of the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, and share in that glory? I mean, last night, it was a clear night. It's been like that for the last few nights, in a sense. And I usually do, just praying last night and just looking up, and it's like you can see the Milky Way. You look to the south, you see the planet, Jupiter, as bright as can be. You got Saturn that's not too far behind it. If you're up late, you could see Mars come up, as well as Venus. And I mean, those are our planets. You have different stars that are out there. They're different brilliance and stuff like that. There's a comet that you can be seeing. I'm trying to see it tonight. This Neowise comet that's in the northwestern sky is supposed to be up there like around 10 o'clock or after 10 o'clock. But when I was outside last night, I haven't seen something like this in a while. I've seen shooting stars every once in a while, but I saw one that was orange in color. Again, it was basically going through the Big Dipper, that constellation. And you literally see like sparks flying off, and it lasted a long time across the sky. I haven't seen something like that in a while. Very impressive. I mean, it's like, cool. Thanks, God. That was cool. That was awesome. But there's different glories of the different stars and planets and everything that's up there. And it always makes me wonder, especially when I preach through a passage or something like this, how bright are we going to glow? Are we going to share that same resurrection of the sun? Now remember, we go outside right now, we cannot see another star or planet or anything. Why? Because the sun is what? It's too bright. Alright? It outshines everything else. That's why we don't see anything. I mean, I know there's times you can see the moon up and, you know, that sort of thing at the same time on occasion through the years, but we can't see any other stars out there. We can't see anything because why? The sun is so bright. Are we going to have that kind of resurrection? Is our body going to be fashioned like unto His glory? or is it going to be less than that? Because we didn't what?
Be conformable unto his death. Because of what? We really didn't want to understand the fellowship of the sufferings. Because what? We didn't understand really the power of his resurrection. Because what? We really didn't want to know him. You see how all this works together?
As we saw last week, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, talking about being able to be joint heirs with Christ, which is conditional, based on what? Suffering. That's what we saw last week. But what does Paul say in verse 18 of Romans 8? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us.
I know it's hard. Going through tough times. Every week, we don't know what's coming our way. We're still dealing with COVID. We're still dealing with protest. We're still dealing with all kinds of unrest. We are in an election year. This stuff is probably going to continue on through that. Who knows what will happen after that? I mean, and who knows what's going to happen in 2021? But I'll tell you this. According to the truth of the Word of God, we can either choose to shut down, forget it, hide, I'm done, or we can choose to what? Get to know Christ more through it all. Understand the power of his resurrection. How to understand to live by the power of God in our life. To understand how we can grow further in the fellowship of the sufferings. Understand and being conformed to his death, that we die to self, die to flesh. By the way, you have fear of things that are going on. That's flesh. I'm saying not be responsible. I'm not saying, making sure you take the precautions that you need to, but to shut down because of fear, that's of the flesh. Dead to the old self. And we're going to walk in newness of life. This is Bible truth that's for all of eternity. It doesn't mean that because there's COVID-19 that we stop believing what the Bible says. Just because there's unrest and protest, it doesn't mean that we stop and hide ourselves. No, it means that we need to be the light even more. Understanding that God gives us the power to be able to deal with all of it. So that someday, that we win Him. So right now, that we can truly what? Get to know Christ more. It's not a time to just give up. It's not a time just to, forget about the truth of the Word of God. It's not a time just to, I don't want to deal with anything in the world anymore. No. We live in a unique time that we have the greatest opportunity to be able to grow in our walk with Christ and to be used of Him for His glory. That someday and someday soon that we can share in that same glory to attain unto His resurrection. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do, all that you have shown us, Lord. And I know I'm not the best communicator of the Word of God, but I pray, Lord, that the things that were said in your Word would ring true in our hearts, that we not forget about it, but Lord, that we embrace it. Help us to be people that want to know you. We want to know the power of your resurrection. Know the fellowship of your sufferings. Be made conformable unto your death, that we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Your resurrection, that our body someday would be fashioned like your glorious body. Not a guarantee in that part to win you, to rule and reign with you, to be part of the bride. But we have every opportunity to do that, Lord. And I pray that that would be our goal, that we strive, that we press for that, as we're going to talk about next week. Lord, help this to be a reality in our lives, not just another message. Lord, I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.